Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
And welcome in to the Monday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you on this Monday morning. Hope everybody had an awesome weekend. Joe Rex Road, how we doing? What's going on?
Doing great. I feel really close to you today.
I feel very close to you today as well.
That's very nice. this place is falling apart, man. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. What? Okay, I don't see any green. Is anybody else in this studio wearing green? You're wearing some green. There we go. Keezer?
Max got you covered.
Max is wearing the green. All right, well, check this out. See? Right here, baby. See this? Is this on the camera? Temple Bar in Dublin, right there, folks. If you ever get to Dublin, Ireland, go to the Temple Bar. Is it touristy? It is a little touristy, but by golly, the Guinness feels tastes like it's poured from heaven. Check it out. Happy St. Patrick's Day,
everyone.
Get some corned beef.
How was your weekend at Bridgestone Arena?
It was good. There were some great games. And you know, obviously, this league's incredible. We saw that. The selection committee certainly agreed with that last night when the bracket came out. But I will say, it was a little anticlimactic because Florida beat the crap out of everybody. Now, Tennessee gets credit for me for fighting. In particular, Zakai Ziegler, Jordan Ganey stepped up big yesterday. They pushed him. You know, they gave him a run. But, I mean, getting a defensive rebound against Florida is like me trying to button, like that hard button, you know, when I've been especially drinking too many Guinnesses and I have to go to a wedding or something. I mean, it's a freaking – every defensive rebound is a freaking miracle against them. They are unbelievable. I think they're the best team in this league, in this country. I think they're the national championship favorite going in. But it was a good weekend, and I think it was still a very good weekend for Tennessee. Big win over Auburn.
Yep.
They get the two. I like where they are, and I know we're going to get into all that. There was a lot of good ball, great crowds. Tornado didn't hit. Overall, we'll call it a win.
Yeah, good stuff on that front for sure. Tennessee-Auburn was awesome. I loved every second of that one. Looked like Tennessee was pulling away in the second half, and then Auburn – makes their run, pulls it within two, and Tennessee is able to survive after that and make some big plays down the stretch. I thought the environment in the game was awesome between Tennessee and Auburn, and Tennessee gets that one done. That's a huge win for them. You know, obviously Florida comes in and smokes everybody, so the bottom line for Tennessee, did it change all that much throughout the tournament? Probably not. I mean, they were a 2 seed going into it. They're a 2 seed coming out of it, so I saw some Tennessee fans talking about that yesterday. It was like, well, yeah, that was all great, but now all you've done is really tire yourself out before the NCAA tournament comes around. I enjoyed the heck out of Tennessee-Auburn, though.
I would argue, though, because I will be in Lexington this week, and Tennessee will be in Lexington this
week,
and I do not believe they would have been there had they not done what they did. I think it would be Alabama. It would have been Alabama. Instead, Alabama gets sent to Cleveland. Is that the biggest deal in the world? No, but I think you might see some more Vols fans there than you would have in Cleveland. And so, you know, and it's, you know, it's a place they've played before. It's a place where this program has had a lot of success in recent years. By the way,
it's true.
Michelle, who I saw this weekend, which was awesome. So, you know, I think they earned that. Let's just trade spots. I haven't even done this yet. Let's trade their spots with Alabama. So Tennessee's sitting there at the two. In the Midwest, Houston is their one. Bama is sitting there as a two, and Duke is their one. I'd rather be Tennessee. And I think Tennessee would be the exact – they'd be in Cleveland, and they'd be going to Newark to play probably Duke. I know Cooper Flagg's hurt, but I think he's going to be fine by then. And I think Duke, you know, they might be the second scariest team out there to me after Florida. I like Tennessee's chances better of beating a Houston and Indy than I do of beating a Duke and Newark.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could certainly make that argument. And look, Tennessee's going to have between now and Thursday to get healed up. So it's not like they're playing Tuesday. So I think sometimes the wearing yourself out gets overblown a little bit. They've got some time here to get going. And look, I mean, let's be frank here. Now, it's the NCAA tournament, so I'll be very careful when I say this. They are playing Wofford the first game, so you shouldn't really have to play like Ziegler 40 minutes in this game.
Right. Beat Wofford. Beat Wofford by 20. I mean, that's what you should do. You know, Wofford's good. The SoCon is good, but yes, I agree. I mean, look, it can suck to be in these tournaments and then and beat the – I'm watching it yesterday. I'm like, man, these teams are just – I mean, Ziegler's on the floor flopping around. He's like, flexing when he gets a loose ball, and I'm like – my God, you guys could just be right now ice bathing and getting ready for the bracket, you know, and you still lose the game. I mean, like the Big Ten tournament yesterday, you know, Michigan makes this run to the final, which is great for Michigan. And then here's your reward. You still are just a five seed, and you play in Denver Thursday. Bye! And it's like, God, you know.
What's the point?
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's obviously everybody, competitors, they want to win these tournaments, of course. And there's – you know, it's a good achievement, but yeah, sometimes it can be counterproductive. I think the Vols, when you're a high enough seed, like you said, you should be okay. You handle your first game, you get that extra rest, and then you get into, you know, what could be, you know, a real tough game for the Vols in the second round against either UCLA or Utah State. For people who don't watch Mountain West hoops, you know, Utah State's a legit team too.
So, 14 of 16 teams from the SEC are in. We speculated that could be the case heading into this, but now we know it, and it's official. 14 of the 16 are in. Joe, it's incredible. Like, with, you know, barring what I think you and I never want to see, along with the general populace, which is expansion of this tournament, are we ever going to see anything quite like this again? Like, 14 to 16 is absurd, and that's what the SEC has pulled off this year.
It's insane. And the thing is, I know some people will want to poo-poo it and say, yeah, but, you know, these leagues are so huge. Right. There's also never been a higher percentage of a league. So, again, go back to 18 leagues. Go back. You know what I mean? There's never been a higher percentage of a league to get in the NCAA tournament. It's whatever it is, 87.5% of the league is in the NCAA tournament. So the old record was the Big East of 11 and 2011. Well, they had 16 teams too, you know, just like the SEC does. So, you know, this is incredible. And it is a validation from the selection committee of everything we've been saying. Like, look, when you dominate like they did, again, no league has ever dominated the non-conference since the ACC of 1984. That's the ACC of Michael Jordan at North Carolina, Muggsy Bowes at Wake Forest, Len Bias at Maryland, Jay Billis and Tommy Amaker and Johnny Dawkins at Duke. They won more than 89% of their games. The SEC this year won 88.9% of its non-league games. That's historically dominant, and they beat all the best teams from the other leagues, and here they are. I did not think Texas would get in. I thought it'd be 13, but Texas did get in. And by the way, the selection committee, having Texas in, okay, they had huge wins. They had a ton of losses. They had huge wins. Okay, then I get it. You can't have them in and have North Carolina in, because the argument is the exact opposite. The argument for North Carolina is they had one big win, one quad one win, but they scheduled hard. They were good in quad two. Like, they, you know, there's an eyeball test and all that subjectivity. But again, you're saying that Texas, because of their better wins, edges out like Indiana, Boise State, even West Virginia. Okay. But then North Carolina can't be in. If North Carolina's in, Texas can't be in. I mean, that's – and Joe Lunardi is, you know, went off on that yesterday. He's totally right. Like, that's a completely mixed message on what matters. So, yeah, we're always going to complain about the selection committee on this day for something, and that's the one. But what it did say is that the SEC is dominant. And now, Robbie, the SEC's got to back it up. The rest of the – all I hear now is – oh, the media narrative, the SEC, shoved it, ESPN, the money, and all this stuff, right?
Yep.
That's what people are always going to say about the SEC. I mean, it's legit. Like, what they've done is what they've done. It's not smoke and mirrors. It's real. But the SEC has been very disappointing in the NCAA tournament, even as the league has elevated. They have won Final Four the last 3 years. Their performance is below expectations, way beyond any other league. And they gotta kick some butt here in this tournament. It's time to back it up.
You think Greg Sankey's like foaming at the mouth today? He's like, oh, we should have got 16 in. Should have been 16 of 16.
I don't know. Maybe they can come up with something where there's 16 auto bids for the SEC. And just, you know,
we need more allocations.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I hope not. Although I will say, you know, South Carolina, whatever their record is, it's not good. They're not bad. They're pretty good, I swear. They probably actually could have gone like 10-8 in the ACC, but they're not in the ACC. They did beat the second-best ACC team. Well, I guess that they might be the third-best, right? Clemson?
Yes.
But they did beat that. The worst team in the SEC did beat them. And by the way, I guess since Louisville beat Clemson, you know, you could call them the second-best team. They got a freaking 8 seed.
I saw that.
I mean, like, you look at their resume.
And their
like,
coach was very upset about it, by the way.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, they should have gotten a 6 for sure to me. But, you know, there's always seeding stuff, too. I don't think in the SEC there was really anything, like, surprising or way out of the realm. The SEC got respect.
Do you think North Carolina got in because their name is North Carolina?
Yeah, well, look, again, it's just like with football. What happens? They all talk about everything. They go through every data point of every team, and they talk and talk and talk. And then, okay, put your vote in. You know, everybody sits at a thing, and they push a button and vote for teams. Now, what people are saying is, oh, the selection committee chair, Bubba Cunningham, the North Carolina AD. Great. Now, look, I like that he's not allowed to participate in those discussions. I mean, I don't think it's like that ridiculous, but – yes, human bias is a thing here, okay? And I absolutely think that these people voting, some of them probably were just like, North Carolina, you know, somewhere deep in their heart. How can North Carolina not be in this tournament? So, yeah, I think that that's a factor. These are humans with biases. And so I thought Boise State should have been in over North Carolina. So the committee's like, well, the ACC is going to have like 3 teams, and then the Mountain West is going to have 5 teams? Nah, that doesn't work for me. I mean, I think things like that, even though they're not part of the official team-by-team comparison, they come into play when you vote.
So the bracket is set. We'll go through Tennessee's path. We'll go through Vanderbilt's path. Lipscomb in the tournament as well. Shout out to them. So some local teams with some work to do this week as the NCAA tournament begins. We'll take your thoughts on all that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. More coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Taking your thoughts on the NCAA tournament and the bracket, which is set here on the program. Joe, let's begin with Vanderbilt's path. So Vanderbilt is a 10 seed in the East here, with Duke as the 1 seed in that part of the bracket. And if Vanderbilt takes care of their first game against St. Mary's, Joe, which is a big if, but if they do, could have Alabama versus Vanderbilt in the round of 32 there. How about that? Could be awesome.
Yeah, and this is where I know that might seem weird, right? And I'm sure Vanderbilt, although you're focused on St. Mary's, but it's like, God, really? Because a lot of these coaches and players this weekend were talking about, yeah, you know, like, be nice to kind of like get away from this league and go unleash it on some other leagues. So it's like, here's your reward, Vanderbilt. You beat St. Mary's in a mild upset, which, by the way, I think Vanderbilt absolutely can beat St. Mary's. And here's Alabama for you. Congrats.
If Alabama could take down our good friends Robert Morris.
That is true. Bobby Moe. Watch out for Bobby Moe in a 15-2. I will say, like, Alabama – that, you know, they're Grant Nelson's hurt. He's getting his knee looked at. That could be a real problem for them in terms of advancing. They think he's going to be okay, but he's been playing really well. And, you know, you look at what Florida did to them on Saturday. You know, they're not playing their best basketball. But for Vanderbilt and St. Mary's, you know, St. Mary's is one of the slowest teams out there, one of the best defensive teams out there. They've got a big time, you know, big. They always have a huge center. They do again this year. They got Marcellonis' kid at guard. I like Vanderbilt. I do. I think Vanderbilt's got a really good chance to win that game, but you have to, you know, you have to try to get some in transition, and you got to figure it out inside. You know, when Vanderbilt plays like a really, you know, big center, Vanderbilt is, you know, their size sometimes can be an issue. They have to be a little bit creative on the defensive end, but I think they got a really good chance, and I think we might just see a little SEC. And that's the problem. We have 14 teams. You cannot – I can tell you, as the world's worst bracketologist, who only got 65 of 68 correct on my final guess.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's not that good, man. You got to – I mean, 2 misses is fine, but 3 misses. West Virginia, I cannot believe they didn't get in the freaking tournament. But anyway, you know, that's a problem. putting this together, it's like, well, if you got 14 teams, you're going to have some second round rematches in the SEC. You can't avoid it.
Yep.
So here's one of them potentially.
So Vanderbilt, it did not go to plan for them. Obviously, in the SEC tournament, they lose to Texas. They've lost three in a row heading into this thing against Arkansas, at Georgia, and in the SEC tournament against Texas. So you're kind of reeling a little bit in terms of the results heading into this. Having said that, obviously, this is incredible success for Vanderbilt and Mark Byington in year one.
Yes.
Getting to this point. And now we'll see, can they get a win when the NCAA tournament rolls around? If they do, we'll worry about, you know, Vanderbilt and Alabama when that time comes. But what a story, now that it's official and they're in and they're a 10 seed, that Vanderbilt has pulled this off in year one,
yeah,
under Mark Byington.
Incredible job by him. First time for the program in 8 years. First year to do this and in this league, in the wins they got in this league. Again, Tennessee, Kentucky, I mean, like, they, you know, they got big-time wins, and it's a great job. So, no question. You know, look, the losing streak stinks, but they get to reset now. They got extra time to practice and figure it out. And if they had not lost like they've done, they'd be an 8-9 right now. So they'd be an 8-9, and they'd be looking at, you know, I guess they could be looking at Auburn, or, you know, they'd be looking at Duke, Houston, or Florida in the second round with a win. And frankly, I'd rather be taking on any of these twos. And Bama, you know, I mean, I think I might rather, yeah, I think I'd rather take on Bama than Michigan State, Tennessee, or St. John's, which are the other two. So could be a little bit of a blessing in disguise here for Vanderbilt. I don't rule out a Sweet 16.
So on Tennessee's front, they are in the Midwest bracket. As you mentioned, they're going to Lexington. They've got Wofford coming up in their first game on Thursday. If they win that game, they'll take on the winner of UCLA and Utah State. And if they win that game, they could potentially, Joe, be looking at Kentucky in the Sweet 16. Now, they lost both games to Kentucky earlier this year. It is very difficult to beat a team three times, but Kentucky has played well against Tennessee. Again, that's a potential Sweet 16 matchup. We'll get to that when it comes around. But Tennessee's the two seed in the Midwest bracket, with Houston being the one in that bracket. What do you make of Tennessee's draw, where they've landed, and their path to get through that bracket?
Yeah, it's, again, I like it. I think that they earned themselves a better path and gave Bama the harder path. And I really think it's basically interchangeable between those two seeds. And whoever was ahead of the other on the overall seed line was going to get Lexington. So we know Tennessee is ahead of Alabama, and they should be, by beating Auburn and how they performed, and, of course, beating Alabama. You know, sometimes it's close enough where a head-to-head can matter. And so I think that it is worthwhile that they earned something good this weekend. You know, you look at that bracket. I think the toughest region of the whole bracket is the West. I think the West is insane. That, I mean, Florida, you know, I don't want to say they got screwed, but my goodness, with St. John's as their two, even like Maryland as their four, Missouri is their six. Like, there's some. I mean, yeah. How about UConn? Is your eight
seed?
If they
win, they could get UConn.
Yeah, and UConn has been, you know, disappointing. But I mean, Kansas is the seven. It's, I think that, you know, you could make a case for the Midwest as the weakest region, just because, you know, Purdue is a four. I think Purdue is a real upset possibility against High Point. Purdue's defense right now is a disaster, and it has been for a while consistently. They can't protect the rim. They're just bad on D. And so I look at this region. I think there's, you know, a lot of opportunity. Like you said, the idea of Tennessee and Kentucky and Indy in a Sweet 16 game, that's pretty good. Now, Illinois could have something to say about that against Kentucky, so we'll see. But I think Tennessee should handle Wofford. I don't see anything. I watched Wofford's title game. You know, you know how it goes, man. Any of these games can get interesting. The big underdog goes nuts from three, and everything's falling. The whole building gets into it. This is what's great about this tournament. But they should handle it. And in UCLA or Utah State, it will not be an easy pass there to the Sweet 16. And you know, it's always with Tennessee. You talk about, like, the shooting. I really love how Gainey's playing. I think Chaz Lanier's going to be fine. I think they have enough shooting now. They need Igor Milicic to get himself in gear. He was really disappointing this weekend. He did not step up to the level of physicality and intensity. You know,
he's getting his head ripped off by Rick Barnes a couple times too.
Well, I mean, late in that Auburn game, you know, he drops. It was right in front of me on press row. He drops a pass from Ziegler. Ziegler catch the ball, screaming at him. I'm like, well, I mean, he's not wrong. So then the next time down, they call a play. It's a perfect play. He slips the screen and gets a dunk and a side pick and roll, and he pops. And he just completely didn't know the play. And so Ziegler and Barnes together, I thought we're going to, like, put him in a headlock and throw him in a trash can. But I mean, stuff like that, I mean, you can't have it. You know, you want to win games like this, you want to win games in this tournament, you can't have it. So I don't want to beat too much up on him, but he's a good player. And he's a difference maker when he is hitting threes and getting in there. You know, look, he's not the most physical guy, but you got to get in there and mix up, get some rebounds. I mean, you got to, you know, you got to play like a four man, and sometimes you have to take on some, you know, when you're playing Florida, you're just playing a bunch of just monsters. By the way, just a quick aside on Florida. I went in their locker room the other day, and this dude stood up, and I actually almost was so afraid I ran out of the locker room. The biggest human I've ever been around. 7'9", 305-pound Olivier Rieu.
Yeah.
Did you
7'9".
Did you see him? He cut the nets yesterday without the ladder. Yeah, I'm sure everybody saw it. Yeah, the biggest dude I've ever seen. So that's what people have to look forward to next year when he starts playing. But anyway, yeah, Igor is the focal point for Tennessee. But like a year ago going to the tournament, remember, like they were really struggling. You know, they had Vescovy couldn't hit a shot. Gainey couldn't hit a shot. Ziegler couldn't hit a shot. They had Connect dominating, but – you know, they won that Texas game, like, swear, without hitting a single jump shot the entire night. I think in some ways, you know, they are in better shape heading into this tournament than a year ago.
So on the Lipscomb front, they get matched up with Iowa State in the first round. So they're in Auburn's part of the bracket in the South region. Obviously, Iowa State going to be a tremendous challenge for Lipscomb. But, Joe, I was driving around this weekend. I saw the billboards up of Lipscomb being the A-Sun champion. I'm rooting for them, and I'm hoping the Cinderella story this year is Lipscomb. Let's go, baby.
Well, I'm with you, even though I'm muting myself. I'll tell you what, you know, they have a shot. Now, you know, obviously they've got a lot of shooting. Ognacevic, who, if I said his name right, you know, is obviously a really good player. They've got the kind of guys who – you know, they make enough shots that they can be scary. And Iowa State is very, very good. But Iowa State, of course, waits until they get seeded to announce that Keyshawn Gilbert is done. He's got like a groin thing. He's one of their, you know, arguably their best player, but he's one of their best players, one of their big three players, and he's out for the tournament. And that's a big deal. That is a big deal for Iowa State. To me, it changes their ceiling a little bit in this tournament. And it makes them a little bit vulnerable. I mean, they're still, like, really good. This is a, you know, it's a tough draw as a 13 seed. Your Lipscomb, or excuse me, as a 14 seed. Like, I still might rather play, you know, like a Wisconsin, you know, which is one of the other threes. I mean, I don't know, maybe even Kentucky, honestly, because they're so banged up. But there's a chance here. There's a chance Friday at 12:30 that Lipscomb could make that a really interesting game.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll take your thoughts on the NCAA tournament and the brackets throughout the show today on the program. We will get back into that into both the 7 o'clock hour and the 8 o'clock hour as well. The Titans made a move over the weekend that I think it's fair to say surprised the heck out of me. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Brought to you by First Horizon, big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. We are taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe, a bit of a surprising move over the weekend for the Titans. Now, they had traded Kenneth Murray to Dallas, and we talked about that late last week. And then over the weekend, they release Chidobe Awuzie, leaving the Titans with $12.5 million in dead cap money heading into next year. So they got 1 year and I believe 8 games out of Awuzie after signing him to the free agency deal last summer, and in 1 year have decided to move on from him. I thought, look, obviously you wanted more availability from him, and we talked about that looking ahead to this year, right, both with him and with Snead. Like, they got to have both of those guys on the field to feel good about that position and the depth that they supposedly have there. Well, apparently, the Titans not waiting around on a woozy. After 1 year and eight games, he's gone, and they've moved on from him. You got Murray out. You got a woozy out. I mean, apparently they weren't a big fan of what Rand Carthon did in free agency last year, and Chad Brinker's just sitting over there like, yeah, I mean, I don't know how any of this stuff came together. It's unbelievable.
He kept signing guys, and I wasn't looking. It was just very frustrating. Yeah, of course, Owusu also has a history with Brian Callahan.
Yep.
Yeah, there's that. I guess, I mean, is it possible they're just like the medical information right now is like, yeah, it's heading the wrong direction, you
Maybe.
Know? Because, or does this just mean that we got confirmation that Travis Hunter pick number one?
Could
and
be.
There you go. That's a, yeah, look, I'm surprised that is a dead cap hit. The cap, which is real. Someone trying to text me on the text line saying it's fake. Talk about the Bengals, which we can get into
later.
We'll
get later. There in just a few minutes.
But it is surprising. I think it also probably is some comment on Jarvis Brownlee. Sort of, I guess the vision could be Brownlee Snead. I guess Snead, right? He's going to play. Is he playing? Does he?
I guess.
Can he run? Can he walk? Can he play? We'll see. But
does he have two legs?
Yeah, you know, if he is able to, Brownlee, Snead, McCreary could be good. But yeah, obviously, you look back and it certainly isn't like John Robinson level picking up hurt players, but. Rand Carthon did sort of follow in those footsteps a little bit. But not Chad Brinker.
Yeah. Make sure we separate
he was independent
two of
them.
Look, you know, on the surface, I guess I don't care that much just because we talked about Owusu last year. Even heading into the year, we're like, he's got an injury history, and then the year comes around and he played eight games. What did he end up with, one pick? Yeah, he had one pick last year and wasn't really all that impactful. Because he couldn't get on the field. And by the time he was on the field late in the year, Joe, well, the season was over at that point. So you just didn't see a whole lot of him last year. And he's about to be 30. So, like, the injury stuff, I mean, he played eight games in 2020. He played eight games in 2022. He played eight games last year. Like, it feels like every other year he's missing half the year out there. Now, the year before he signed his deal, he played in 15, and that's part of why he was able to sign the deal, because he was out there and he was available, and the Titans took a chance on it. It just didn't work this year. And then I think the question you got to start asking yourself is, all right, well, now that he's approaching 30, is that going to get better? Like, is he just going to magically become available all the time now that he's in his 30s? So clearly the Titans felt like the answer to that was no, which is fine. Now, having said that, Joe, you went from a spot where – let's say, for sake of argument, Owusu was healthy and Snead was healthy, and you do have Brownlee and McCreary's there. Like, you got some good depth at corner.
You can absorb an injury.
And now he's gone, and, I mean, you're not totally devoid of depth there, but it's a big hit to your depth. So I guess my question is, does releasing Owusu, is that going to affect how they approach this draft coming up? Not necessarily with the number one overall pick, but you are, I think, adding another potential need to a team that already has a lot of needs.
Right. Yeah, like this was the one position. Like, okay, we don't mess with that too much unless you get Travis Hunter. Other than that, you know, you don't mess with it. So now you have to mess with it. Or maybe it's a one of the, you know, a free agent signing here soon. I mean, I think you have to do something because, like you said, if you're banged up, then you have guys who have injury histories. Have more of them, not less of them, right? And another thing about this is – again, I know it's a short period of time, but there is no question that, and Brian Callahan talked about this before, and it's just obvious to see. Chitobe Owusu is absolutely a guy you want in your locker room. I mean, he is, you know, very much known as a leader and as a professional. And again, you're kind of losing a lot of guys like that at this point with some of the moves, which, again, there's a lot more to consider, but that is something, too, when we talk about culture. So it's a little surprising. It is. And so, like you said, now you have to deal with that. I mean, the draft, those picks are so scarce and valuable, especially if they're not moving out of one, that, man, I just – like, where do you have time for a corner in there?
Well, and now, you know – I think this was important anyway, But now I think there's even more importance put on L'Jarius Sneed being available.
Yes.
And, you know, they seem to be confident that he will be. But, I mean, I don't know about you, and I don't know about most Titans fans, but my suspicion is that most of you all probably agree with me, and I'll believe that when I see it with Sneed. Like, get out there and get through camp and get through a few games and play, like, multiple games in a row, and I'll be like, okay, well, then I guess I'll allow myself to start to believe here. But based on all the noise around him after the trade last year and then him just being a non-factor for the Titans last season – like, it's hard for me to believe that he's just magically going to be completely healthy all year this year.
Yeah, very hard. So that's the thing I just said. They must have information on Awuzie that makes them pessimistic about his health moving forward. Does this mean they have news about Sneed that, oh, actually, this rest has been huge and it's a totally different deal? I don't know.
I hope so.
Yeah, you know? You hope that. That's part of it because, yeah, it's like you've got to – I mean, this team has to have a viable fourth cornerback or third outside cornerback with him on your team. I understand. Then it's like, yeah, well, Shadobi didn't play much either. I get that. But now, you have to go find another answer while you're looking for answers at linebacker, safety. You know, I like the signing up front on defense in the offensive line, but there's still, you know, there's a lot to deal with here, a lot to address.
Well, and look, you know, last week they brought, you know, Daryl Baker Jr. back in the fold. I think they were happy with what he brought to the table last year. So, like, you've got Brownlee, you've got him. Again, like I said, it's not like you're completely devoid of depth there, but, like you were counting on, at least, like, I mean, clearly they weren't, but we were counting on Awuzie and Sneed being, like, the answers there. And then if they go down, then you've got some other guys you can rely on. Now they need L'Jarius Sneed to be healthy throughout the course of this season.
Yeah, and Baker, this could be a comment on Baker.
Could be.
Too. So we'll see. I mean, it's availability, as the text you're saying, prioritizing availability. I would agree with that. I think that's a clear theme here.
Absolutely.
And overall, I agree with that.
Yes. It just – you're looking at the needs on this roster right now, and you're just like, well, let's just make one more. All right, let's get in there.
Sure.
Let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Larry to the program. Larry, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, guys. How are y'all?
Good, Larry.
Good.
Hey, with Awuzie getting cut over the weekend, one of the things, you know, we keep on hearing Travis Hunter. I'm not for surely sold they're going to draft Cam Ward at number one. Is Travis Hunter actually the best cornerback in this draft? Or is he even the best receiver? I'll hang up and listen, guys. Have a good day.
Thank you, Larry. Appreciate it. I mean, Rexrow definitely believes he's the best corner in the draft. I think a lot of people believe
by far
he's the best cornerback in the draft. So, I mean, I don't know that I necessarily view releasing Awuzie as like some commentary that they're going there. The signs are still pointing Cam Ward to me. Like, you know,
yeah.
If it's not going to be Cam Ward, your quarterback room is going to be rough heading into this year at this point.
Yes, I think it will be too. But yeah, I think Travis, like Will Johnson from Michigan's a really good corner. There are some people like, well, you know, this, you know, as a corner, strictly as a corner, this guy or that guy is better than Travis Hunter again. I don't think so. I think Travis Hunter is going to be one of the great cornerbacks in NFL history. So how about that for a little Monday morning hyperbole? But I do. I think he's special. I don't think he's the best. Yeah, you know, the best receiver in the draft, who is the best receiver? I guess you could argue that he's still – has a case as that.
Yep.
It just
is like, Ted McMillan.
There's questions about all the other guys, but he's not a slam dunk to me like corner.
I'm wanting a certain receiver, Matthew Golden, the fall number 23.
Yes,
I've been watching too much of him lately. So
yeah,
I got to stop.
He's one of those, like, what he did on top of what he did on the field last year, he's going to end up going like 12 or something. You know,
he's going to go really high. Yeah. It's like, oh, good. Look at that.
Yep.
615-737-1025. Titans have released Chidobe Awuzie. We'll take your thoughts on that. How will that affect what the Titans do in the draft? More coming up next. Robbie and Rexrow, 1025-1063 The Game. Need a bracket to fill out for the NCAA Men's Tournament? Well, head to thegamenashville.com/gamebracket and print off your bracket today. Presented by Toyota. Fuel your adrenaline at toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places. Also brought to you by thenewcumberland.com. Twin Peaks, and Bet365. We will get back into the NCAA tournament and the bracket a little bit later in the program. Right now, taking your thoughts on the Titans and the releasing of Chidobe Awuzie over the weekend. 615-737-1025. 102.5. And as we just heard in our little promo there, a little live golf later in the program, too. Rexroad's very fired up about it. Maybe we'll get a tally-ho by the end of all this. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. I mean, gosh, I don't know if I can do this show.
Can't contain yourself. I did have a friend text me earlier when we were talking about the NCAA tournament. It was like, wow, Rexroad's like a pig in bleep today. Really loving this stuff.
Oh, man. I mean, you got to love it, right? This is when the rest of the world joins the college basketball.
This is when I'm all in.
That's right. That's right.
All in, baby. So as far as the Titans in the draft, you know, if you're going Cam Ward at number one, we talked with TD on Friday about at 35, could you find a way to trade back from that and pick up more picks? Because there's still a lot of Titans fans that say, we need more picks. How do you find more picks? And I generally agree with that. I think they need as many picks as they can get. You're not going to get that king's ransom if you're not trading back at number one, which it doesn't look like they are, by the way. And, you know, we'll get into the Cam Ward stuff a little bit later in the show too. But Jordan Rainin, who covers the Giants, was on a podcast this weekend and basically said, like, from things he's been hearing, that the Giants trading up to number one is, like, almost dead. So all signs continue to point to the Titans taking Cam Ward at number one overall. So if you do that, you currently do not have a third-round pick. You're picking at 35. Maybe you could trade back from 35 and pick up an extra pick somewhere along the way. But the bottom line is, if you're taking Cam Ward at number one, obviously you're filling a huge need at quarterback there. But you're not going to have as many kicks at the can as you would at trading back and picking up other positions. Now, how does corner factor into this still? Like, Joe, if you're going purely by need, it's still down the list to me. Like, you know, wide receiver is a massive need right now. Edge rusher, I think, is still a massive need. And even though they've addressed the offensive line in free agency, I still wouldn't hate them addressing more of the offensive line in the draft as well. So I would probably still put all of those ahead of cornerback if you're going strictly by need. But I do think, you know, if with Awuzie now gone, if you roll around to pick 35 or pick 108 or whatever you end up getting, if you're trading back from 35 here and you roll around in a corner as the best player on the board, like, does that make you more apt to take one now that Awuzie's not there? I don't know. I'd be interested to see how they view that.
Yeah, I think especially, I mean, if you're going to top of the draft for need, which is what it is. I mean, there's just I can't buy that all of a sudden the Titans have fallen in love with Cam Ward so much that, hey, he's actually the top player on the board. No. I mean, that just doesn't add up, you know, with everything we've heard about these prospects. So if you're going to draft for need, and we understand that drafting at need for need at quarterback is different, but still, that's what you're doing, right? I don't think you can do any of your other picks on need. So if it is a corner, okay, well then do that. You know, even though you obviously still have to me a way more intense need for edge and receiver.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, if you're going to do Cam Ward, you really need to stick with the best player approach for the rest of the draft. I mean, this roster obviously needs so much, and what it needs more than anything is it needs great players anywhere.
Yeah.
So I think you really have to emphasize that. So, yeah, like, it could be a corner, and I'm not – right now, off the top of my head, I'm not – I mean, there's some good corners in the draft. There's a couple supposed to go in the first round. I'm not familiar if there's, like, necessarily supposed to be somebody around there. But, you know, I think there's definitely going to be edges and receivers.
The odds are there'll be more edges and receivers in that spot.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we'll see how that part of it plays out. And we, you know, we got a text that says corner's not a need. I don't know that I would classify it right now as a need either. I think it can very quickly become one.
Yeah.
Like, if Snead can't go at any point this year, it's a big need all of a sudden, right? So, like, it's basically one injury away from being a need right now, and a pretty massive one if you're the Titans. So we'll see how they view that. I still think, you know, what other move at receiver is coming? It's hard for me to believe that they're done at receiver in terms of the free agent part of this. Now, there's not a ton of great options out there, as we've talked about, but I think just from a purely a body standpoint, you got to go sign somebody else at receiver to bring him in, and then you can continue to address it in the draft at that point. Robert from Nashville on the text line says, are we asking too much for the number one pick? Can this new GM just not swing a deal to move back? Does nobody want to give up anything for the talent available at number one? Well, the answer could be as simple as they don't want to move back anymore, and they've discovered that Cam Ward's their guy, right?
That could be.
I mean, it's looking like, and again, we'll see how it actually plays out more than a month from now. So there's still a long way to go. But it's looking like it's trending towards the Titans selecting Cam Ward.
Right.
And if they love Cam Ward and they've determined that that's their guy, then as we talked about last week, if I'm the Titans, it doesn't really matter what anybody else offers you. If you think that's your pick at quarterback, and as far as like, is anybody swinging, is nobody giving up enough talent for the available picks at number one? Like, you've got the Giants still in need of a quarterback, and they're really the team that's been connected to it. Cleveland's probably not moving up one spot. So if they're not moving up for Cam Ward, they're not going to move up for Travis Hunter. Like, the idea that they were ever moving up for Hunter or Carter or anybody like that, you're moving up for the quarterback if you're doing that.
Yeah. At this point, the Titans are maneuvering tells me they're probably taking him at one. I still don't hate the idea of having an open mind and someone throwing the world at you. But again, who would that be? Probably the Giants.
Yeah.
So I think what it tells you is, one, again, the Titans, what they've been doing, it's hard to take this as anything, but they're planning to take the quarterback at one. And it also might speak to, well, Cam Ward, he may be the number one guy clearly, but he is rated as a prospect below most of the first-round quarterbacks of the past few years. That's just the reality. Doesn't mean that dooms him to a bust career, but that's just what it is. And so that kind of goes along with the lack of teams desperate to come up and get him, right?
Yeah, and look, you know, the Giants, until they get a quarterback, you know, maybe they do love Cam Ward and they're desperate to get him. But again, as we talked about, if the Titans really want Cam Ward, then if I'm the Titans, I don't care what the Giants are desperate to do. Like, if you want Cam Ward, then take Cam Ward.
Yeah, again,
you hold all the cards.
Unless the Giants, I want to give you three firsts. Even a first, I think, would be a surprise. Like, not obviously this year they'd be swapping first, but like next year's first, I think that would be a surprise. If it gets to that or something. But like, at this point, all the momentum seems to be pointing to, I mean, who knows? I guess the Giants are in that Aaron Rodgers vortex right now.
We're going to get into that here in just a few minutes as to what in the world's going on the Rodgers front and how that's kind of holding up everything else at quarterback right now. Ed on the text line says the Titans have a huge void they must fill. The linguistics professor from Columbia needs another name that he can constantly correct his colleagues on. Taking a shot at Kuharsky this morning on the text line.
Does Kuharsky have it right like we do or no?
I think he does.
Again,
I think so.
It does. He's leaving now. He's gone. So, but again, it's Chidobe Awuzie if you want to say it in English. Somebody told you. Chidobe Awuzie. We have people on this station who call him Chidobe Awuzie.
Yeah.
If you want to call him Chidobe Awuzie, then you need to say his first name in his dialect, which is like Chidobe Awuzie. Fine. Then do that. Otherwise, it's Chidobe Awuzie. Now I've become the linguist. I'm even more insufferable than Kuharsky on it.
Right.
Thanks a lot, Ed.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Some big news in the NFL in Cincinnati. Paydays for Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. We'll get into that. Also, we will get into the quarterback situation that is currently being held up by the caveman, Aaron Rodgers. We'll see if that ever has a resolution. All that coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Hey, guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.